Hi, I'm Christine Ming Ming Garner. I grew up living in fear, raised in a doomsday cult. They taught me I would die at a young age, that I would never graduate from high school, college, have a family, or a career. In the years since my escape, I've been learning to overcome the fear and living my life with a purpose and by design. I'm a wife, a mother of three, an entrepreneur of a seven-figure business, and I'm on a mission to guide people to overcome their fears to live a life of fulfillment as I have done. This is The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. Welcome to The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. This is where I have the opportunity to chat with amazing entrepreneurs on how it is that they've overcome adversity to now live a life that they love, a life of fulfillment. Today, I have George Brooks with me. If you don't know George, you've got to get to know George. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He is a strategist, a podcast host, and the founder of Crema, which is a digital product agency. Since starting his company from a hospital room 13 years ago, George has crafted innovative teams that use creativity, technology, and culture to help individuals and organizations thrive. George's clients have gone from ideation to successful exits, IPO, or large-scale organizational change. His unique focus on the postures, disciplines, and structures of innovation teams help attract, retain, and develop talent that produce results no one thought possible. George, what an incredible bio, and thank you so much for being with us today.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So George, tell us about your personal life. What does your life look like today?
What does my life look like today? Like many people, I'm working from home. I am getting to spend a ton of time with my family these days. I've been married for, I should get this right really quickly. I've been married for 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
You look like a spring chicken.
Well, we were babies when we got married. Definitely pretty young. Yeah, yeah.
We were
super young, high school sweethearts, and we've had three beautiful young ladies in our life. So three daughters, and they are 10, 12, and 13, and they are doing whatever school looks like in 2020 and 2021. we're making it work.
Yes.
And then in the meantime, I am a part of a few different communities, but one of those is this incredible organization my business partner and I got to start about 11 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, awesome. I'm super excited to learn more about that. So George, tell me about what events happened in your life that led you to do what you do today?
That's a great question. I grew up in a creative family. So my mom was an artist and a painter and was always the leader of different things, whether it was, at the church or at, the school or whatever that might be. She was always kind of taking that lead position. And my dad was actually a safety engineer at a nuclear power plant, which is the most creative thing in the world. It's not actually, but he was phenomenally curious. And so we lived out just outside of the small town in Kansas, and he would take me outside, and he was the type of dad that would say, let's pick up this rock and see what's underneath it. Or he would look up at the stars and say, did you know how long that light took to get to your eyes? And so it was just always a sense of curiosity. So I think first off, the combination of that curiosity and creativity always led me to kind of be in a space where I wanted to be surrounded by people that were just trying to solve big problems and do great work. And hopefully that was in a creative environment. I wasn't sure what that was going to look like, but my goal was to go and maybe pursue graphic design. So that's what I went to school for a bit. Like I said, I got married super young. So I dropped out of college when I was 22, in order for my wife to finish her schooling to become a nurse.
You're a good man.
Well, honestly, I wasn't a great student either. So that sounds more altruistic than maybe it actually was. But my goal was to go back to art school, finish my degree, become a designer. I actually continued to work on freelance design at the time and got a job as a designer as soon as my wife graduated. So we moved up to the big city, Kansas City at the time. And I got a junior graphic design job just from a portfolio. There are jobs you can do that with.
Wow.
Well, a couple of years into working there, we got pregnant with our first daughter.
Wow.
And long story very short, the first sonogram, when you're going in to kind of see the baby and what looks like a baby, that was before 3D rendering was a big deal at the time, you know? So you're kind of guessing at what the outline of a child is. They left the room. They then came back in the room and said, "Have you been sick?" to my wife. And she said, "No." And so they left, and she had a perspective that I really can't have. And that's one, not only is she is about to become a first time mom, but she's also a nurse. So she heard what they weren't saying, what they weren't celebrating, and what they would soon come back in and tell us, which was that something was wrong. And what they told us was that she had a massive amount of fluid on her chest, or on our little girl's chest, where her heart and lungs should be. And it was pushing her heart and lungs out of the way and not allowing them to develop. So they would do procedures where they would go through my wife into our daughter and pull that fluid off and actually do that several times until about 2 months before her due date, where they would say, "We need to get her out and get her into the NICU, the neonatal ICU, where we think that she'll survive there if we can see what we can do." So they did an emergency C-section. We didn't hold her for the first 6 hours. We didn't see her for the first 6 hours. We didn't hold her for the first 2 weeks.
Aww.
But during this time, I'm working 45 minutes away at a tiny little graphic design agency. So I actually, during the season of her being in the hospital, did what any smart junior graphic designer starting a career, oh, by the way, in the last recession, I quit my job. And became a freelance designer, and actually bought my first laptop and started looking for clients, literally sitting next to our daughter. She was in critical care in the neonatal ICU really for 7 months of her life.
Wow.
But at 2 months, we had been working with a number of different specialists and teams. And this is where I really learned what a cross-functional team can actually do. Not only can they keep a human being alive that for all practical purposes shouldn't be, but they can be experimental and creative even within this very medical environment to try new things that maybe have never been done before. So they were flying in medicines from Japan, and they were looking at procedures that have never been done for this particular condition. And she had a pretty rare case of it where she had a cyst in her chest that would go up and kind of wrap around her neck. And at 2 weeks, one thing I noticed during this time is that you're always hearing different perspectives. So there'd be the perspective of the doctor, or the perspective of the nurse, or the respiratory therapist, or the specialist, or the pediatric surgeon who said, "You know what? She's too critical and I won't operate on her. She will just die. She won't make it through it." So I was always kind of listening to these perspectives, and we were kind of having to have this like humble confidence of going, "Okay, well, we're not physicians. We trust you." Well, at a certain point, 2 months in, they had tried everything. And so we were introduced to a new perspective, and that was the hospice care team, the palliative care team, the end of life team that would say, "Hey, we don't have any other options. We need to look at how we can maybe prepare her for how and when we want to let her go." So long story short, we're in this room. Everybody's very emotional. And like I said, perspectives is a big theme for me in my life. The pediatric surgeon who said he'd never operate on her walked in, and he's this very jolly guy. And he said, "Well, what's going on? Why is everybody so emotional?" "This is the hospice team. This is the palliative care team." "Oh, well, if you're at that point, I might as well go in and try." And so he ended up shutting down the entire neonatal ICU. She was too critical to move to the OR. And he did the surgery right there, right in the room. And he would remove part of the cyst and try to clean up as much of the damage that was done. And long story short, he came out and he said, "I don't know if I did anything too drastic, but it's a mess in there. We'll see what happens." Slowly, the fluid that would just keep coming back stopped coming back. So we spent the next 5 months working on healing her airway, strong enough for her to come off the ventilator system she was on and come onto a little backpack ventilator that we'd carry her home in, where she was trached. And then when she was 3 years old, she had her trach closed.
Oh, wow.
And now she's 13 years old. She's in middle school. She's run 6 5Ks. And she's this amazing, beautiful little girl. Aww. But during that time, I was able to start a company accidentally, and it would lead to me creating a place where perspectives and cross-functional teams really do allow people to not only do this incredible intense work, but also explore new ways to get things done.
So. Oh man, that's incredible. I freaked out when you said you quit your job.
I did too. My wife did too.
It makes complete sense when you're like, I need a freelance work so that I can be close to my baby. And I mean, what a critical time that was for you to always be there for her, you know, and the incredible, innovative business that you've created due to that. It's incredible.
That's interesting.
So amazing.
Some entrepreneurs talk about that vision or that big idea or the thing that they always dreamed of doing. And then some entrepreneurs are pushed off a cliff and they're told to figure out how to build a plane on the way down. And I think I was definitely the latter. I had desires to have a creative team, but it was when I was pushed and forced to say, I have to figure out how to provide for my family. And praise God that I had a wife that was a nurse that did bring in some income for us.
Yeah.
But quite transparently, we should be medically bankrupt. Right? Our final bill after 7 months being in the ICU and with surgeries and everything else was well over multiple millions of dollars. And remember, we're 24 years old and I'm a junior graphic designer.
Scary. All that scary.
Oh. And so, you know, thank God because she was a nurse at the hospital and the negotiation through insurance, we ended up paying maybe a few hundred dollars out of pocket.
Golly gee. Wowzers.
So yeah, it's those moments where you go, wow, what something is lining up for me to do, as you talk about what maybe what I was fulfilled to do, or what I was, my purpose is to do in life. And Crema, I think, is a huge part of that now. And I love my girls now getting to see my daughter hates me telling that story in front of her because she gets really, you know, kind of uncomfortable, but it's one that I absolutely love, because she's a miracle. Honestly, owning a business sometimes feels like a miracle. You know, we're almost 50 people now as on staff.
Wow.
And we're serving clients across the country and a few that are international, doing really cool creative work. That's
amazing. So tell me, who's your niche clientele? Who are you looking to serve?
Yeah. So it's actually shifted over the years. So we started with whoever would take a risk on a small graphic designer in a hospital room.
Totally.
And a lot of those were entrepreneurs that were trying to build new products.
Yeah.
We doubled down into user experience and digital products. So as an agency, we primarily build software or apps for companies that are trying to scale or to try to innovate in some way. Cool. So the people that works like now is global enterprises, global organizations that are really trying to lean into innovation. A lot of management consulting, cybersecurity is a big space for us. So a lot of high-end professional services will come to us and say, hey, I understand you work with teams like us. We have some people that can get stuff done, but we're not moving as fast and as nimble, as agile as we should be. Can you help us? Like, yeah, absolutely. That's what we do.
Neat. How do people find you?
You know, if I'm honest, people find us through relationships. It is definitely through building. Most of our best clients come through people that have gotten to know us through referrals. But in the last few years, we've doubled down into creating content, talking about how we think the best work is done. So we have our podcast that we created as well called People a Product. We have a YouTube channel that's under the Crema name, where we really put out a ton of material around how is technology built? What are some of the constraints and challenges to get technology done? How do you think creatively and innovatively? And how do you really work in a way that's more human? How can we actually treat each other really, really well while we're still getting amazing work done? That's the company that Dan and I created, my business partner and I. And we would think that other organizations, even at scale, can create small pockets and teams that work that way as well.
That's amazing. So I'm curious, where did the inspiration for the name Crema come from?
Yeah. So don't Google it because you're going to get like a Mexican sour cream. It's not a Mexican sour cream. I didn't know that at the time.
I love Crema.
Yeah. So actually when you brew an espresso shot, Crema is the top golden layer of an espresso shot. It's technically the proteins and the carbonation that come off the coffee bean when you brew an espresso shot. We're coffee nerds. We do love our coffee and we drink quite a bit of it. We're more on the pour over side, the kind of black Ethiopian single origin coffee side ourselves. But yeah, that's where it came from. And so me really doubling down in user experience, our kind of positioning early on was that we're kind of this golden layer on the top of your product design. Since then we will serve you a really good cup of coffee when you come into the office. So yeah,
I love that.
Yep.
That's so amazing. Okay. So what's the purpose of your company?
I think the purpose of our company is literally to do what kind of what you said in the intro. It's about using design, technology, and culture to help individuals and organizations thrive. And so what we mean by that is design and creativity is not just pixels moving around on a screen. It's a way of thinking. It's a posture. It is how we approach solving big problems. And technology is a means by which we can automate and do things at scale, which is cool. And it's amazing that we can do what we can do. We're recording this over a video call, right? That's amazing.
Yes.
And then culture is absolutely crucial for creating an environment, creating a team where you can both recruit people to your organization because they see and they hear about the culture. And then you can retain people because you're investing into their growth and investing into an environment where they really can be autonomous and collaborative and use their skills to the ultimate level. And so culture is the third piece. So design, technology, and cultures. And we don't just want organizations to thrive, though we do want that to happen. We want the individuals in those organizations to thrive. We want the individuals that organization is serving to thrive. And if we all were really focused on the thriving of each other, I think we would treat each other a lot better. I think we would actually produce better results that were a little less self-centered and more on serving people well. And I think those are some of the principles we're trying to lace into software design and development.
I love how you have added so much humanity to what you do, you know, because oftentimes I think about, when I think about software, I literally think about
code.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that is not human at all. It's like
a robotic developer in a dark room, yes. You know, that doesn't talk to anybody, socially awkward. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons we equip. So we work in cross-functional teams. So designers, developers, product managers and test engineers are all working together. There's no departments. They're working in teams where they can make decisions quickly because a designer can say, oh, what if we did this? And a developer could say, well, there's some challenges to that, but what if we did it in this way? Oh, cool. Let's make a compromise and work together to work with the product manager who's saying, yeah, well, the business needs X. And then that's test engineer cool. to come back in and say, yeah, and when I'm testing this, I'm running into a few issues. And so when you're working cool. those rapid collaborative ways, you get these, you just get better results.
And faster.
You're faster and people super enjoy fast. It and they see progress in a couple of weeks rather than several months. Yeah. And then our clients get to have this radical collaboration where they get to know their people, they know their team personally. So our clients will show up to like happy hours and things that we're doing just because they know their people. They came to our 10-year reunion, you know. Our 10-year celebration. So it is definitely about humans doing what humans do best, which is we're creative.
Love together. That. Thank you so much for describing that to me. Because when you were talking about cross-sectional teams, you know, you really painted the picture for me. And I now understand why it is that you're so successful and why people choose Crema to develop their software and their apps and things like that. So way to go for being so innovative. And obviously, like you having such a high priority on company culture, that I feel like is the real driving power for any business, right? When you treat your employees well, they treat your clients well. And it's just like a gift that keeps on giving. So
it just fills itself. And then, oh, by the way, when you go to hire somebody, you don't have to go to an agency or this place that's going to go like find people for you because they're lined up at the door wanting to work for you, which is
really because of your current thing. Employees. So that's true. Right. Love right. that. Yep. So how can people connect with you, George, after they hear you on this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, definitely check out crema.us. It's our website where you can learn more about the company. And then, of course, listen to our podcast as well. I love podcasts. I listen to too many of them and I get lost in them. But People of Product is our podcast. So search for that anywhere you listen to a podcast. Or check us out on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel that has over 150 videos where we're trying to help people, again, use design, technology, and culture to thrive.
I love it. That's so awesome. Before I ask you my last question, is there anything else that you would like to chat about that I did not touch upon?
Oh no, we could talk for hours, but I think that's probably
Okay, great. Last question for you, George. What does fulfillment mean to you?
That's a really beautiful question. I think it's a hard question for a lot of people to answer. Fulfillment for me personally looks like loving God and loving others. When I am drawn to knowing other people well from all different walks in life and perspectives and life experiences and seeing the potential of what they can add to the world and what they could add to me, that is such a beautiful thing. So I'll be honest, that's what's made this whole pandemic shutdown thing difficult because I haven't had that proximity to people that I had before.
Yeah.
But when I do have that, when even just this conversation with you, learning more about you and you asking about me, there's just this beautiful ability to see, I think, what the world was designed to be, which is where we can value each other. And yeah. I get to do that through a company. I get to do that through a family. I get to do that through my community. And then, of course, for me, I'm driven by the purpose of what I was created to be, which is a reflection of the image of God. So.
I love that. You know, what's awesome is that it's evident that you're very connected, like spiritually, because for you to be able to answer that question and say, you know, loving God and loving others and then being a reflection of his image, that's incredible and so beautiful. Thank you so much, George, for blessing us with your message and the story of hope and empowerment that you've provided to us. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And just as a side note, my daughter's name, her middle name is Hope. So.
I love that. Wow. Yeah. Well, please tell Hope that we're so happy that she is thriving today.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of The Fulfilled Life with Ming Ming. If anything you heard was inspiring or resonated with you, please subscribe, leave a review, and share this with your friends and family. I'm Christine Ming Ming Garner. I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, always remember, fulfillment is your birthright.